Am I there? Yeah. Okay, thank you. What a wonderful place to be, isn't it? Wonderful place to be coming from that place of worship. Mark, oh, thank you. I often take the mickey out of Mark because, but I tell you something. This morning's fantastic, thank you, and the team. Isn't it great to worship? It's my favourite place, actually. I'd rather, in lots of ways, I'd rather be a worshipper than a preacher. But God called me to both, so hallelujah for that. Hallelujah. A lot of what Lord's laid on my heart for this morning has already been said, sung, or done. So, and I didn't actually give him any clues this week either. So God is great, isn't he? Isn't he just great? Okay, two things, at least two things in our society which people are not good at. What are they? Sorry? Listening. That's the third one. Waiting. Who likes to wait? Who likes long queues? Who likes, cars jammed up one behind another? No, people don't like waiting. They don't like waiting. And they don't like listening. They just don't like hanging around. You know, Willy Wonka, Veronica Salt, do you know what she said? I want it, and I want it now. That's what she said. And that's our society, isn't it? We live in a society that wants it now. You know, the Europeans, they say, they work to live. They reckon we in this country, we live to work. Work seems to be. You know, I want it now society. It's never used to be that way, because it couldn't be that way. Because in years gone by when Doug and I were just young men, that's only about 30 years ago. Yeah. If you wanted something, you had to wait for it. You had to save up. My first watch, I remember it. It was a Timex. I had to work, I think it was over a year of newspaper rounds to be able to afford it. But boy, I treasured it because I waited. And I waited. If I wanted a new jumper, I used to wait till Christmas. It's the only time you got a new jumper, wasn't it? It's the only thing, technically the only time. But now there seems to be more disposable income. And if you want something, you just go and buy it. You get the plastic out and you just dab it now. You don't even have to do the old slot machines. It's all right, you young people over this side. I'll talk to Doug and Carrie. We know what, and Gordon. Good to see you, Gordon. Yeah, so, we had to wait. You know, but people can just go out now and instantly get what they want. We live in an instant society. And I don't think that's what God wants. How many of you like sport? Oh, good. Good. There's a sport I love. It's an hour long, but takes 5 hours. Can anybody think what it is? It's American football. The match is an hour long, but it's about 5 hours to get through it all. Because in the midst of it, they do things which are called time out. They take time. I think they do it in basketball as well, but they take times out. You know, if something doesn't look right, if something doesn't feel right, if something is just not there, they say, time out. I want to stop, think, reassess, consider what to do next. And I think that's what God is saying to the church today, what God is saying to us as individuals today. Some of you, some of us, and after my week as well, I need some time out. We need to take some time out to stop and think and reconsider and get ourselves back in that place where God would have us to be. As I said, I like American football. Now, if my family are here, oh, yes, they are. If they're thinking about Christmas presents, I wouldn't mind a ticket to go to Wembley next year to watch. But, you know, no problem. It's fair enough, isn't it? You know, in our walk with God as individuals, as churches, and as church movements, God, it is good practice to take time out. You know, as I said, reassess, reevaluate, consider what God has got for us, what God wants for us, and what God has for us. We need to stop, because we live in such a busy society, we live in such a busy world, we don't stop very often, do we? We're always on the go. Even this morning, Matthew said to me, oh, I've had such a week, I haven't stopped all week. Shame on you. Shame on us. I'm going to go into Isaiah 40. It's a very well-known text, very well-known scripture. And it reads like this, Isaiah 40, and it's 28 through to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God is Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. God's word. These are so familiar verses to so many of us, I'm sure. And if we're honest, we know them well. But how often do we take them to heart? How often do we take them to heart? This whole scripture, these verses, they start telling us about an eternal God who's everlasting, who's caring, who's almighty, he's the creator. And as I shared last time I was here, he doesn't change. He's still the same God, isn't he? Amen. Amen. Yesterday, today, and forever. But the reading goes on. The reading goes on. He doesn't tire. He doesn't get worn out. His patience is endless. He knows everything from beginning to end. That's just like us, isn't it? We're just like that, aren't we? No. Well, you might be, but I'm not. I get tired. I get frustrated. I get to the point where sometimes it's hard to press through when I just don't know what's happening or what's coming next. And there have been times when, you know, honestly, I felt I've just had enough. This week's been quite difficult. And I do feel these things. And please don't tell the grandchildren, the children, especially my wife, I don't know everything. I do. No. I tell you, I know I don't know anything because my children and my grandchildren know a lot more than I do nowadays. And it's great to call on them. So if you're blessed like I am. Anyhow, verse 30 carries on. And it's not just us oldies who get tired. Sorry, I shouldn't say oldies. Us distinguished, mature veterans. It's not just us who get tired. It's even the young men in their prime. They're going to tire. They're going to collapse. They're going to fall. They're going to be overwhelmed with situations that they can't handle. Not knowing how to go on or what shall I do next. And it's happened to, has it happened to all of us? Because it's happened to me. But even you young, fit men and young, fit women. Now, ladies, sorry, the scripture says young men, but it does mean young ladies and ladies of distinguished age. You know, it talks about all of us as people. We grow tired. We grow weary, we get tired, we get run down. But verse 31 is a key verse, a familiar verse. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. Those who wait upon the Lord, those who take time out, those who rest, those who make a purpose of waiting in God's presence. Those who wait upon the Lord is a very familiar phrase throughout of Scripture, if you read through. And they promise that those who trust and hope. Now, in some other translations of the Bible, the word wait is trust or hope. But it's all coming together, that spending time in God's presence and relying on Him. Those who trust or hope in the Lord shall have their strength renewed. I was wondering if God was really at work, and we might have had that song, Strength Will Rise As We Wait Upon the Lord. Strength will rise when we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Do not lean on your own understanding. Don't always do it your way or the way you think it's going to have to be done. There are situations in life when we have to stop. And now, I'm not very good at this. When we've got to stop and ask for help. A couple of years ago, I fell out of an apple tree. I was pruning it. And I landed on my head, so I was quite safe. But I fell out the apple tree. This year, the apple tree is covered in mistletoe. And a third of it is dead. And so I called on my big son. I asked for help. Two reasons. One, I can't afford to land on my head again. And secondly, the wife wouldn't let me. So I had to call on my big son. When you're weary, who do you call on? When you're tired, when you need a hand, who is it you call on? Who is there? Do not lean on your own understanding. Cast all your cares upon him, and I'm talking about the Lord God, obviously. This encourages us to trust in God more, to acknowledge God in every aspect of our life. We need God in every aspect, don't we? Don't we? Not just our Sunday services, not just when we're visiting people or doing something. We need God every moment of the day. There's an old hymn, isn't there? Every moment I need you. Yeah, there's an old hymn there. But it's relying on God for every aspect of our life. And it suggests, these verses, they suggest that if we wait upon him, we will get guidance. If we wait upon him, we'll get clarity. If we wait upon him, the path will be open before us. And we all need that. Because in the generation we live, nothing is clear anymore. Things change. But we need to know how to go forward. And I'm not getting the ancient manuscript out this time, the map. Yeah, I know you did. That's why I brought it in. We don't need a sat-nav. We need God. If we need direction, if you're struggling this morning for knowing and where to go next, there's only one place to go. It's good to have friends, it's good to have family, but the degree has to be, the last degree is to, or the first degree, should I say, really, is to call on God. First in first. And it suggests that if we do this, we'll get guidance, clarity, direction. And it serves to us in our that our human understanding is only limited. We live in a big world, don't we? But we live in a big universe, and we live in God's kingdom. And it's the kingdom direction that we should be searching for. And all other things it says in Scripture will be added. God can provide wisdom far beyond our comprehension. God can give us wisdom that we never understood, because his ways are higher than our ways, aren't they? It does say, and we shall fly like on the wings of eagles. If you can do that now, I'm interested to see that. But what it actually means is, what the actual scripture is meaning is, you will do things beyond your limitations. You will go higher than you ever expected. You will go further than even your own imagination can take you. Why and how? If you wait upon the Lord. And God takes us all through a time of resting. God takes us through all into a time of waiting. God leads us to a point where we have to say stop and listen. Stop and watch. Stop and talk. Stop and pray. Take time out. You know, God made the Sabbath, didn't he? And the Sabbath is for our rest. It's for us to take time out. How many of you actually work a Sabbath into your life? It was a command. It wasn't a request. It was for our own good. Now, the Sabbath doesn't have to be Sunday. Because if I rested on Sunday, I wouldn't be here now. But there's some time in your day, in your week, when you need to stop and take time out. Forget everything else and just contemplate on him. Now, John Wesley's mother, Susanna, she had quite a few sons, and I think she had some daughters as well. What she used to do, ladies, and the family knew it, the fear of her wrath, I think, overwhelmed it. She would go and sit by the big open stove or whatever they had in their kitchen, and she'd get her penny and she'd put it over her head and she would sit. And lo betide anybody who came near her, for that was her Sabbath rest in God. She was taking out time to rest the physical, but to engender the spiritual. I always used to find that sitting in a nice warm bath was a great time for waiting on God. We've only got a shower now, so I've got to do it other ways, but never mind. Those who wait upon the Lord. But waiting is not just sitting around doing nothing. It's not there. Not sitting and waiting for somebody else to do it or something else to happen. There are things we must do. Waiting patiently on God is not a passive activity. It's active. The Hebrew word for wait suggests this active sense of hoping, anticipating, longing, and trusting God purposely to show you the way. I've put here, and I didn't know of another word, purposely relaxing in God. Letting go. Letting go. John Cowan, some of you know him from in the Letchworth Church. His favorite saying is, just let go and let God. But sometimes we need to let go of all those burdens which are coming upon us. The fear of the future, the fear of the past, what has been, what may be. In the Midlands, where I used to minister years ago, they had a syndrome called the what-if syndrome. Oh, it was terrible. Oh, what if this happens? Oh, that might happen. What if? So one Sunday morning, I preached on this and I said, well, what about the what ifs? What if an aeroplane was to crash through the church this morning? We'd better not come in. What if? You're anticipating things to go wrong. You're anticipating things not to be right. So let's not sit and pull our hair out and go grey gracefully with the what-ifs on our minds. We should sit and wait upon God and know what can be. The what can be. We need to take time out. Not to hold things that have happened, they are happening, you're afraid they might happen, but allowing the Holy Spirit of God to come and show you what can be. In this waiting on God, we have the promise of strength, supernatural renewal of strength, supernatural refreshing for those who are patient, for those who are faithful. And it's enabling so that we can endure all the challenges that come. It brings a trust and confidence. It reflects deep in the confidence that we have in God. In God's planning, in God's timing, in God knowing what to do, when to do it. It brings a trusting in God's timing. We want it now. God might say, wait, because waiting is the better time. It's building spiritual resilience. If you know God, if you've waited on God and allowed Him to build this into you, it will build up a spiritual resilience that no matter what comes against you, you'll be able to stand like Jesus did and say, it is written. God has said. God has said that you are a beautiful creation. God said that He will care for you. God has said one day He shall see you face to face in the glory. A spiritual resilience, no matter what the world may tell you, the devil may tell you, even your best friend tell you, God's word is true. And anything that goes against that is a lie. Simple, isn't it? Simple. Taking time out, spending time with God, waiting on the Lord will bring restoration and renewal. And I'm sure in most of our lives there's a time when we're all weary, isn't there? When there's a time we're all a little bit tired and we need a break. This is when, in the natural, we might take a holiday. We might take a retreat. We might take a sabbatical. And I've been really blessed as a minister over the years to be able to go and do that, to take time out. One of my favourite places is a friary down in Kent. And literally, you're sitting in this ancient building and you go walking in the countryside. You go walking in the gardens. You sit by the lake and you just allow God to fill you. But I say, I've been privileged to be able to have that. And I know in our normal lives, not many of us can do that. But we must make a time when we come and rest in God's presence. We need to make a time when we say enough is enough. When we run out of our own strength, surely before we run out of our own strength, we should draw on His, shouldn't we? Our strength comes from the Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth. This is what we have. Growing spiritually, taking time out will bring all this renewal. Time out to rest, restore your energies, to get a clear perspective. Sometimes when we're tired, we just can't think clear, can we? When the busyness of life is impacting every moment of your day, how many of you actually get to that place where it's just enough is enough? Yeah? Or are you at that place right now? Are you at a place when things just seem too much? Well, I'm telling you, now is the time that you need to take that time out. As a church, God has given you a time out to reflect, to listen, to wait, and just allow Him. You don't have to worry about the future, for it's planned. And I just want to reiterate that. Cast your cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Is it time to cast your cares upon Him? Waiting on God, resting in God, trusting in God is not wasted time. It's resting time. Not a time for inactivity. And now I've just told you the benefits that there are. Renewed strength, enhanced spiritual growth. But it's not just time. I just think about this as I drove over. It's not just in bad times or weary times that you need a rest. Sometimes it's in growth times and good times as well. So it's not all negative. You know, if we're pressing forward and growing in God as individuals, as a church, as a movement, as whatever, if we are growing and progressing in God, here also we need to take time out for what is the next step, for what he is calling us to do next. So it's not just in the negative times of being wrung out. It's also in those times of running forward that you also need to take time out. Rest, renewed strength, deepening faith and trust, guidance and direction, spiritual growth, peace and security. These come with waiting on God. Rationally, deliverance from difficult situations. Waiting can result in deliverance from sticky or horrible situations that we've got ourselves into. Joy and peace, experience of being delivered and guided and led into a deeper joy. You know, joy isn't just laughing and having great fun. Joy just doesn't happen at Christmas. It's that innermost being, that innermost feeling within yourself that you know God and that he knows you. That you love God and he loves you. Do you know that this morning, church? God loves you. Well, that's two of us. People, God loves you. I get the sense this morning there's one or two of you here who don't like yourselves. Shame on you, because God loves you. God has called you perfect. God has called you the apple of his eye. God has called you. You've sung it this morning. You are the children of God, and God loves you. So if you're feeling down and deflated and you don't like yourself very much, remember, God loves you. And guess what? He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes. Waiting on God can bring a positive example to others. Why are you so peaceful when all your world is falling around you? I'm waiting on God, and he knows best. He has given me the peace that passes all understanding. Oh, waiting strategically can bring growth and fruit into our lives. Fruit such as patience, perseverance, endurance. It also draws us closer to the Saviour and is part of our testimony, as I said, to those. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God is Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to those who ask, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the young men, even youth shall faint. Young men shall fall, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise and fly like on wings of eagles. If I had a superpower, that's the power I'd love to fly. I'd love to fly, to be up there like that. But as I said, what it means is you'll have the strength, the endurance to do the impossible in him. This passage offers comfort and encouragement. It reminds the people of Israel when it was written, but it reminds us today that there is everlasting strength and he has an unwavering commitment to you and to me. But we need to wait. We need to wait. Cast your cares so he may bring peace into your situation. But in this also, in this waiting, there also has to be that position of putting yourself right with God, of actually coming before him and saying sorry, confessing and repentance. In the midst of all that we're going through, excuse the vernacular, but I've said to God, Lord, I'm sorry, I've screwed up again. Lord, help me. And guess what? He hears my cry and he rescues me. That's what the psalmist said, and I'm standing with him. He hears your cry and he rescues you. Sometimes we get ourselves into sticky situations. We say the wrong thing or we do the wrong thing. But you know, God is faithful. If we come confessing and repenting, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive our sins. So he's there. As you wait, hope in the Lord, you'll be renewed, your strength revitalized, you can face the future. Hallelujah. Time out to reflect. Time out to consider. Time out to let go and invite God back into the situation, asking him to come and show you the next step. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on those things on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in his glory. One day we will see him face to face. I'm going to before I close, I'm going to quote Susanna Spurgeon. She's the wife of Charles Spurgeon, if you hadn't picked that up. She counseled her own heart with these words. The Lord has strewn the pages of God's word with promises of blessedness to those who wait for him. And remember, his slightest word stands fast and sure. It can never fail you. So, my soul, see that you have a promise underneath thee. For when you're waiting, will be resting, and a firm foothold for your hope will give you confidence in him who has said, they shall not be ashamed for those who wait for me. How do we wait? Seeking. Seek God while he may be found. My brother, he is a fantastic photographer. Some of you might remember, I had the time to go and do bird spotting. But my brother's won competitions with photographs. And some of the ones he's done are of kingfishers diving. And to get that photograph, he's had to sit in a hide for hours, waiting for that moment for that bird to appear. And I don't know what he does while he sits there. Most probably drinks coffee, knowing Brian, but he sits there with his camera focused on where that bird is going to come from. And the moment it appears, he takes those pictures, and they are beautiful. Sometimes we need to stop, look where our help is coming from, focus on that, and wait in anticipation, knowing for certain that that time is going to appear and come. Prayer. Don't demand of God. Don't stamp your little feet and say, God, I want this sorted out. How often have I prayed, Lord, there's this situation. Lord, will you sort me out? Do you know, half the problem I've had with other people is me, not them. Waiting, praying, not demanding, but asking and listening and reading the word of God. So to conclude, and this is a conclusion, the power of waiting upon the Lord is the ability to renew your strength, to find guidance, experience profound spiritual growth, and you will, to those who trust and have an active dependence on God. Not passive idleness, it's an active and hopeful process, knowing that God is faithful, knowing his time and his plans are perfect. I just want to pray, if that's all right with you. I want to pray for you as individuals this morning, especially those of you who have not taken time to wait on God. Or should I say, for those of you who are in the midst of aggro. There's aggravation for the younger generation. for those who are going through stuff that they just can't handle. Instead of rushing at it, and sometimes we even throw money at our problems, the greatest solution is to stop, wait, listen, and watch. For God is on the case. Will you all bow your heads with me, please? Oh, Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. Lord, just recognizing, Lord God, this busy world that we live in, this busy season that is coming up, Father God, where our minds can be drawn away from the real reason of the season. Father, where work is overwhelming us, where family problems and illness seem to be on the fore. Lord, when I've just had enough of having enough. Lord, I just pray for these wonderful people here, and Lord, and I just bring myself also. Lord, help us make time to wait upon you. For none of us the future is clear, Lord, except one day we shall see you face to face. Lord, the future is, Lord God, that you have my future in the palm of your hands. So, Lord, I pray for these wonderful people. If anyone here, Father God, who just needs that refreshing and renewal right now, Lord God, Lord, just bring your peace that passes all understanding. Lord, bring that rest. But Lord, in all of us, I pray, bring the determination, the energy to make sure that we wait and take time out with the one who has the answers. To him be glory in the church. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you, Mark. Amen.
Right, we're just going to wait for the children. They've got something to show us, I think. That'd be lovely. This is our time to practice waiting.
Lord, I wait for you with hope found in your word. Help us to remain faithful and obedient, no matter how long this period of waiting lasts. We trust in your goodness, grace, and love. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 take your place, to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way and bring me back to you. Jesus, I thank you that you desire to spend time with us and you have even called us your friend. God, your word says if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And I want to be near to you. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you cause me to desire to draw near to you above everything else. Help me to have supernatural time management abilities. Help me to see clearly when I can set aside time to spend with you. Yeah. And help me never to compromise that time. Father, you said you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Mm. I know that to be diligent, I need to pursue you with passion and perseverance. Help me to put your word first in every direction I make, to pray continuously throughout the day and to look for opportunities to listen to your teachings that will build my knowledge and understanding of who you are and what you want for my life. We thank you that as we do these things, you will guide us all in truth. Show us things to come and anoint the works of our hands. I praise you and I thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I just want to, please sit down. I just want to say something. Since we find ourselves in this place as a church, We've had two sermons on change. We're in a time of change. Both were brilliant, Doug and David. We then had, this morning we've had a time encouraging us to stop and to wait and to listen. And I think they're vital words from the Lord. And I think today is the 16th, isn't it? And next Sunday, it's the 23rd. And I don't want to step on anybody's toes. Maybe Ian or the others were going to say, next Sunday, it's the 23rd. And that's when Neil Whitmill's coming to lead us in a service of reflection and repentance. And I don't know what it will involve, but something of that ilk. And I've just got this feeling that it's a strategic Sunday in the life of this church. And this church, okay, yes, it's a nice building, but we are the church in this place. And I'm speaking to myself as well. I feel this week I need to prepare myself for this service. Whatever it involves, that my heart is soft, that my heart is willing, that my heart is willing for God to bring me to a place of forgiveness, healing, restoration, whatever it is, that I'm willing for him to do it. Because David was saying, when we say we're sorry, we may feel, well, I haven't done anything wrong. Am I making sense? But we're corporately responsible for where we find ourselves.
Yes.
And we're waiting to see what God will do next.
Yes.
And that's it, really. Because it's going to be a strategic time in the spiritual realms. You know, when our children mess up, all they need to do is come and say, well, Mum and Dad, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you, Kerry. Thank you for the wonderful prayers this morning as well. We've had some wonderful prayers to encourage us. So the children are going to show us their work now. Mm-hmm. Want to come and stand along the front?
Now then. Yes. We're on. Right, 1 second. So, it's good to see all of you here this morning. Brilliant. Now then, you haven't got glasses on. And I don't know the difference between you without glasses on. So, are you Eldad? Yes. Eldad, can you tell us what have you been doing with Auntie Lindsay and Auntie Margaret this morning?
We've been making some pictures. We've been trusting God and everybody. We trust our mum and dad and aunties and grandpas. And our whole family. And then can you something happened in the past.
What's at the middle? What's that? What's it all about?
Love. I love my mummy and daddies and my aunties and my grandpas and my grandpa.
And God.
Yeah, and God.
Brother,
and then,
what? What are you laughing? say, shall we let your brother have a word? Because you've got lots to say and it's lovely.
Oh, yeah. I need to say one more.
Of course. Go ahead.
And then something happened in the past, like in the morning in the past, something happened in the war. And then they've been fighting and they had swords, fighting swords and shields. And then they've been, and Mary been to save the soldiers. Some are grumpy and some are nice, like we've been. And then the yellow team said, you should only had one side and let that other side die. And then he hit both of them up. He hit both of them, and then Mary been sent to jail.
Right. Thank you. I think we got a history lesson as well this morning. Thank you, Eldad. Right, Meldad, tell us all about your picture and what you've been doing this morning, Pickle.
We've been doing readings and pictures and do what we want to do. And we have to trust your mummies, your daddies, your uncles, your grandfathers, and Jesus. And you always have kind God feelings that you have to do. You don't get angry. It's because you can do something bad. And the Lord of glory, we pray and glory and pray and we go to Jesus. And when we die, we just go rose up to heaven and then we read to Jesus. Amen.
So, Meldad, even though you weren't in for Uncle David's sermon, you've just half preached it. Because we've been talking about if we've got a challenge and if we've got a problem, who do we go to? Apart from mummy sometimes, who do we go to? We go to Jesus. We go to God, don't we? Well done, Eldad. Now then, Gertrude, what can you tell us? Centre of everything, isn't it? And what, can you remember what this is?
Peace.
And?
Trust. Cold.
Peace. And?
Family. Jesus.
And not forgetting?
Mum. And Daddy.
And Daddy, absolutely. That's beautiful. Well done. Do you want to let your big sister say something? Thank you, sweetheart.
So we were writing about love and what it values most to us. And I've written, loving my mum and owning our actions.
It's very clever. She's used the word loving peace and put loving my mum, owning our actions, valuing our family. And I can't read your beautiful writing.
Envying
our life. Preaching the word. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Your family, your cousins, your grandparents, your aunties, yeah. Your friends were all you have, yeah. The world you live in.
Yeah, and I like the way you've put, if we're going to love, we've got to be kind, be responsible for our own things and be thankful. Yeah?
Yeah.
Play with our friends and don't brag. Yeah? And food. I think that's a running theme, isn't it? That's wonderful. Now then, Alex, let's have a look at yours. Did you enjoy doing it? Yeah? Yeah? Can you hold that nearer your mouth so we can hear you? What's important to you? What do you love? Can you tell us? Yeah? So we can hear you.
Family. Brothers. Cousins. Siblings. Everything we have, our granddad and our grandnan, and school, friends to play with.
Yeah. And is there anything else you love?
A roof above my head.
That's pretty useful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Definitely. Thank you, Alex. Now then, Zephaniah. Sorry, sausage, there you go. You're okay. Tell us what's on yours. Would you like to? No? Are you a bit shy? Shall I read it for you? Would you like me to? Yeah. So Zephaniah says, love, peace, God and peace. Lots of peace. I think they've definitely heard the preach, even if they weren't in the room. You love your dad and your nan and your grandpa and your mum and you love. That's a good one. Do you like hugs too? Yeah, I bet you do. There you go, my darling. That's beautiful. Right. Would you like to say something?
Go for it. Yeah. On mine, I've got my friends, my nan, my granddad, dad, God, mum, my phone. and my football team.
Arit for love, siblings, parents, family, friends, God and Jesus, and then I put around God, peace, trust, faith, and put Jesus again.
I put God, food, my family, and Jesus. I was to say,
what are you thankful
for? Food.
That's fair enough. Okay, guys, give him a clap.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing, lads and lasses.
Yeah, it wasn't a good bad.